Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio. Hope you all are having a great day out there. Thanks for kicking it off with Melissa and I. We got some fun stuff to get into this hour, Mel.
All right.
We're going to touch on a little bit later the most popular, at least in most popular, fast food chains in every state.
Okay.
And we got some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day coming up for you. But let's get into some entertainment news to kick things off. And I'm going to talk about my old boss for a moment. A former staffer for Conan O'Brien named Todd Levin tweeted, quote, "At Conan, there was a crew member who was fired because Conan witnessed him being impatient and rude to a server at a restaurant."
Ooh. Good.
And he quoted this out in particular with the news about James Corbin recently. Which, for those that don't know, that restaurant that famous restaurant that kind of like blackballed
him.
Banned him and everything. That didn't last 24 hours. They immediately he made his typical apology and all that, and said he's going to work to be a better person, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, really?
And they let him back. Yeah. I don't know. Meanwhile, in an interview, Corbin said he didn't do anything wrong. The whole thing was, quote, silly, but he did apologize for it profusely, or at least his agent did. He is not looking very good from this whole thing, but that's a whole other story. I want to focus on Conan because this is actually one I can do a little reporting on. Working there for half a year, if not a little longer than that. And just seeing him interact with everybody from the executive producers on the Conan show to, people like myself, to people who brought food there, catering people, all that. And I got no reason to say this. I have no reason to lie or anything like that. It does me no good. It doesn't help my career or any of those things. Easily the nicest human being I have met in the industry. Arguably, maybe one of the top 10 nicest, easily one of the top 10 nicest people I've ever met, maybe even be top five.
Nice.
And I met him late in his career. This is 10 years ago. This is, he's established. He's got all these things going. If he's going to have a narcissistic quality, if he's going to be egotistical, I'm going to see it. We're all going to see it.
Because at that point, he doesn't have to be nice.
Nope. No, he is, especially on his show where there's everybody. Well, what's Conan think? Well, is Conan okay with this? And that wasn't
right.
That
he's top dog.
Yeah. Everything from lunch to the opening monologue. And it wasn't because he was some heat miser or something like that. It was because we loved going to him with things. He was so encouraging, so friendly, and he treated everybody with the same level of respect.
And that makes all the difference.
When you see that you have George Clooney coming in, and he's shaking him, and he's treating George Clooney, and then he turns around and talks to the caterer and treats them the same exact way with eye contact and all those things. You can't help but be inspired by that, by like, okay, that's the kind of guy, if I'm ever in that spot, that's how I want to be.
Yeah. Absolutely.
My dad,
basic human dignity.
Yeah. I remember my dad teaching me this from a young age of treating servers and treating people a certain light. He used to joke, you treat everybody like you do the chef, Jimmy, and you never treat a chef bad. never treat anybody making your food bad, something like that, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So,
no, that's good advice.
Yeah. This is kind of interesting, too. I have a little bit later we're going to get into this one, Melissa. Actually, well, we might get into it. Let's dive right into it right now. We got the time.
All right.
10 horror movie locations you can visit.
Okay.
If you like visiting actual horror movie locations, especially this time of year and everything, here are 10 of them for you. The abandoned house on Niebolt Street from It from 2017. It's a 105-year-old mansion known as Cranfield House, and it's in Toronto.
Toronto, Canada?
Yes.
Okay.
Is there another Toronto?
Oh, probably.
I guess so.
We've got
London,
Wisconsin.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I was more so rhetorically. I have never heard of it. So makes sense, though, if there would be.
Yeah.
The Conjuring House in Curry, North Carolina. It's at 405 Cane Tuck Road. The real, quote, real haunted house the movie is based on is in Rhode Island.
Oh, so that was just the movie set.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Abandoned Pavilion from Carnival of Souls. The Bates Motel and Mansion from Psycho.
That one I might want to see.
Yeah. That'll cost you a little extra to see since they're on the Universal Studios back lot. You have to buy a ticket to the park and take the tram tour. The Exorcist House in Washington, D.C. It's on Prospect Street in Georgetown. You can also recreate movie history by interacting with some of these places and doing some of the scenes from them.
Well, and everybody's got a camera phone now, so you could refilm your own scene there.
Mm-hmm. The Michael Myers house from Halloween. It's not in Habitfield, Illinois. It's in South Pasadena, California.
A little bit further to travel if you're in Wisconsin.
Just a bit outside.
Just a bit.
The Overlook Hotel from The Shining. No. For exterior shots, they actually use the Timberline Lodge at Mount Hood in Oregon.
Hmm.
The hotel that inspired Stephen King to write the story in the first place is the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park, Colorado.
Okay.
Where him and his family actually were stuck for a while.
I think I saw something about, because I drove through Estes Park in Colorado, in 2000, I want to say. Mm-hmm. I think I saw something about advertising that you could do a theater or a tour or something. I don't remember. That was a long time ago.
Yeah. The Blair Witch Project, Burkesville, Maryland, is about an hour east of Baltimore. That's where the footage of the townspeople was shot. Most of the movie was filmed in Seneca Creek State Park.
Okay. I just read that the reason you didn't get to see the witch in that movie, you know, like when you get to the end, mm-hmm. and you don't get to see her, is because he forgot to pan left.
Yes. Well, I've heard that, and I've also heard budget. They literally were scrambling like the last week's month of that movie just to get filming done because they had little to no budget and were just, you know, trying to finish the film. It was a passion project and they were hoping, you know, hey, maybe it'll get picked up by a Sundance or one of these, mm-hmm. you know, indie film kind of places or something like that.
I had no idea it was going to be so big.
Yeah, I do believe it is still the highest grossing movie ever from its budget. No movie has ever had a smaller budget and made that much of a profit. And it really kind of holds up. I mean, I didn't watch it extensively, but I watched a couple scenes from it a little while ago. And we're still just as eerie, still just as kind of like a...
That's one that I actually have seen, surprisingly, with my dislike of horror.
You know, and it's one of those ones that even if you hadn't seen it, Melissa, I would like... This is one that I think is cool. Like, this is more suspense than horror to me.
Right. It's a little more Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah.
Esque with its, you know, not just straight up gore and gross in your face.
The thing that Hitchcock got down so good that he understood about human beings is the stuff that we create in our brain is going to be a heck of a lot more scarier than the blood and gore, whatever direct. It's a lot of great horror directors. There's a lot of great stuff that can be done in that genre. But Hitchcock understood that our imaginations are far more wild than anything that they could do special effects wise back then, or even to this day, I can make the argument.
Sometimes making those suggestions is scarier.
Yeah. The Paranormal Activity House, that's in San Diego. You can check that one out.
Okay.
And the Branford Apartment Building from Rosemary's Baby. In real life, it's called the Dakota, and it's in New York. It has another claim to fame. John Lennon was shot outside of it, of course, famously. Him and Yoko were living there at the time. Some people added some other stuff to the list, like Martha's Vineyard, the Holy Ground of Jaws. The gas station from the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, that's actually in Texas, in Bastrop, Texas. And they actually do serve barbecue there, apparently, which, yikes. Yeah. So there's a lot of those. I can't think of any off the top of my head that I've ever wanted to see or visit, but going to film locations always seems like a fun idea to me.
Yeah. Seeing somewhere where they film something is cool. I would think it's cool. Visiting places that are haunted can also, especially this time of year, can be scary. Mm. I did have to do that once when I was working in real estate. I had to go and take interior pictures of an abandoned nursing home out in the middle of nowhere.
Ooh.
And I was a little creeped out.
Yeah.
Because I was by myself. And there, you know, it's... And it wasn't like it was dilapidated or anything like that. It was still in perfect condition. I had to unlock the door to get in, but there were, like, leaves in the corner of some room, like, somebody had left doors open and stuff had blown in. It was creepy.
I've said this before, it's not a machismo thing. I just don't get scared because my Nana burnt me out of these movies at a young age. Watching The Shining when you're 7 years old, it kind of, you know, does that to you. But I this time of year, I feel like, oh, I'm missing out. You know, I don't get the scared stuff, or I don't get to watch horror movies and be blown away or any of these things. But I do like to remind myself of the moments when I, too, have been scared. And this happened at least once or twice. The first time you're staying in a house, or especially an old house, and you're laying there in bed, and if you're like me, you're nocturnal and you can't fall asleep, and every little noise in that house is a monster. Is a monster. Yep. Or a bad guy trying to get you or something. Uh-huh. Like that. Those moments. You have to balance, like, okay, was that really something? Should I go check that out? Or I'm just my imagination is just being crazy. I'm just there's nobody there. Wait, what was that? What was that? Where did I put my bat? Where did I put my mm-hmm. bat? Where did
mm-hmm. Or if you've ever held that job where you work a third shift and you're by yourself in a place, that can be a little scary too.
There is a bar that I was a bouncer at in DeKalb, and the bouncers also kind of helped close up at the end of the night. And so we're doing this, and I'm just kind of wrapping up, and I'm new, so I'm kind of doing some of the tail end last things. And before I know it, everybody's left, and my boss just goes, you know, just lock it before you leave. I'm like, all right, I didn't think anything of it. This bar, this is no, you know, typical bar. It's like two stories, has a huge theater area and stuff. And wow. I'm walking around in there, and it's that, the stuff I was just describing about a house, but like times 1,000. Because I also had,
and you're responsible for securing it.
Exactly, that's the other part of it. It's like, I can't, you know, this is a little different. Like I got a job out here and stuff, and yeah, that was interesting. Mm-hmm. Taking a look at what's new on your small screen this weekend, premiering on Apple Plus TV, Raymond and Ray, starring Ethan Hawke and Ewan McGregor, two of the better actors you'll ever see. They're playing half-brothers who are forced to reunite when they find out their father's last wish was for them to dig his grave together. It's a bit of a dark comedy, but it does sound good.
Okay.
Let's see here. The third season premiere of World's Funniest Animals will be on the CW at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. Sunday Night Football, you'll have the Miami Dolphins hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay.
And let's see here. The first season finale of House of Dragon will be on Sunday at 9 o'clock on HBO.
9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. And let's see here, looking at your big screen, a couple of big movies coming out this weekend, probably none of them bigger, or at least none of them with more expectations set on their shoulders than The Rock's Black Adam. He plays the DC comic anti-hero Black Adam, similar powers to Shazam, but from Egypt. It also stars Pierce Brosnan, Alias Hodge, Quentin Swindell. Big cast, big budget, and this is the... So DC on the sidelines have been just cutting people left and right. And they just cut the executive, like one of the executives over there who's been with the company for like 15 years. So heads are rolling left and right because DC is always going to be compared to Marvel in the Marvel movies and the Marvel universe.
Yeah, how could they not?
Right, especially to a basic fan who's just looking at, doesn't care about DC, Marvel, just give me superheroes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's even they notice a difference, and even those fans aren't going to see DC movies anymore because they've just had such a long list of bad movies. and there's things that DC gets right. Their casting, I think, is you know, kind of... treated wrongly. I think they do a really good job casting, whether it's Jason Momoa as Aquaman or Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. They've done a really good job of casting. The Rock is one of the most, if I'm a movie producer and I want to guarantee my movie is going to make some money, I'm going to hire The Rock.
Yep, like, cast The Rock.
Yeah, I mean, I may not make more, but I'll at least get my money back if The Rock is starring in it. So The Rock playing a superhero in today's climate, I mean, you got to think, oh, that's going to make billions. That could be one of the biggest movies. But this first week is going to tell a little bit. It's the second week we're going to find out if this is a hit or not. The first week, people are going to go see it. It's a superhero movie. It's got The Rock, all that stuff. The second week, are they going to see it a second time? Has word of mouth encouraged other people to go see it? This is where theaters make their money. This is where Avengers Endgame becomes one of the biggest movies of all time, and all these other the recent laundry list of movies, whether it's the new Spider-Man or the new Thor movie, both of those killing it in theaters. And all because they have a good standing. Now, DC has some wiggle room here because they've made it very public. Hey, we fired all these people. We're bringing in new people. We're trying, everybody. We're trying. We got The Rock, huh? We got The Rock, huh? That's pretty cool, right? The Rock. I mean, everybody loves The Rock. Ugh, muscles. We'll see. We'll see how this does. I'll tell you, I'll see it for sure, but I'm not going to probably see it in the theaters. I'll be honest about that. I don't feel like mortgaging my house. I don't, to go do it. We'll see. We'll see how this does.
It's got the other big names too: Pierce Brosnan and Henry Cavill.
Yeah,
is it Cavill? Cable?
Yeah, Henry Cavill is rumored to be in it a little bit. We'll see. He plays Superman right now. We'll see if he's in it or not. But Pierce Bronson's a big name, and Henry Cavill you mentioned there. But this is all on The Rock's shoulders, and we'll see how this does. Especially that man's got some pretty dang big shoulders. So see how it does. I'm sure it's something that we'll be discussing in more in depth on our new show, Director's Cut, that Seth and I are working on. We've got a couple of topics I want to dive into with him when it comes to this stuff. The DC Marvel thing, why this has happened, why the rise of superheroes, and what is the shelf life it has. I want to talk with Seth about actors playing different races and different cultures and different sexes and these things.
I'll be interested in hearing about that because I've got questions.
That's a part of what the show is going to be, and it's also going to be our opportunity to put a spotlight on local entertainment. Our first episode, actually, we're going to be filming in this afternoon. We're going to be having a bunch of the cast from CWAC's SpongeBob musical.
Awesome.
We're going to record that, film it, and then we'll have that as part of our first episode. But things like that, we're going to bring musicians on the show with us and everything. It'll be a fun show that we'll have on Sundays, probably after Seth Faces the Music.
Nice.
I'm looking forward to it.
That's exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
Ticket to Paradise, also new in theaters this weekend, a romantic comedy starring George Clooney and Julia Roberts as divorced parents who go to Bali for their daughter's wedding to some guy they just met. those two work really good together.
Well, and they're going to bring in a lot of people.
Definitely. And I don't think that George Clooney gets enough credit as a comedic actor. He is incredibly good at comedy. You may be able to make the argument he's better at comedy than anything else. Just watch Oh Brother, We're Out Thou. Just watch that for one thing, let alone any of the other comedies he's done or anything. He's a sneaky good comedic actor. And The Banshee of Inisherin is also, it's a limited release, but especially if you're a fan of Irish actors, you want to see this one because literally every great Irish actor in history is in this. It looks really good, doesn't it?
Yeah, Colin Farrell.
Yeah, Brandon Gleeson, Carrie Condon. There is just a huge cast in this. It's a dark comedy. As a pair of lifelong drinking buddies in a small town in Ireland, and it kind of goes from there. I don't want to give too much away or anything, but it looks really good. And a big shout out to Colin Farrell, who has really turned his career completely around. And become one of those more like actors that people like, oh, I got a serious part, I want him, like that kind of thing. I didn't see that coming with him, but that's all a credit to him and his working at the craft and everything.
Yeah. No, that looks really good. I want to see that one.
Yeah, definitely. And that's kind of the kind of thing that you'll also get with Director's Cut. There's going to be episodes where we don't have a musical guest or an entertainer guest or something. Seth and I will be able to dive into a little bit more of what's new in theaters, new in small screen, new in local theater, that kind of thing as well.
Good.
We will take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and have some more fun. It's Mel and James taking it through your morning on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Mel and James here with you. We hope you're having a great day out there. Happy Friday. Name one of the fast food places you can't get enough of, and one you'd be fine with never eating again. Go ahead and play along at home, everybody. Someone checked Google reviews to find the top-rated fast food chain in each state and the one that gets the worst reviews. So, looking at this list, Chick-fil-A ranks first overall. It's the top-rated spot in 34 different states. Papa John's is last. It's the lowest-rated in 16 states.
Whoa.
Chick-fil-A is also the top-rated chicken spot in almost every state. Raising Cane's ranked higher in Alaska and Hawaii. The third lowest rated are KFC, Popeyes, and Wingstop.
Hmm.
I've never
some of those I haven't heard of.
Yeah, yeah. Raising Cane's is okay. I've only been there once.
I've never heard of it.
Chick-fil-A really didn't do much for me. I like crunchier chicken, though, so maybe that was
okay.
It. I like KFC. I like Popeyes. I like more of those, but, yeah, you know, what do
yeah.
I know? I
don't want... I've eaten at a Chick-fil-A once, and it was, you know, it was fast food.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of,
yeah.
Kind of my opinion all around.
Yeah. America's favorite fast food burger spot is Five Guys.
Oh,
McDonald's
okay.
and Burger King received the worst reviews on Google. Now, with some of these, and I'm not trying to, like, do them any favors or anything here. They don't advertise with us, let's be honest. But I do think the more of something there is, the more tendency you're going
to
have of good opportunity for good and bad. Yeah.
Yep, yep.
Where it can be the same thing for a business that is big, but not so big that they have the opportunity to have a lot of bad reviews, like a Chick-fil-A is a good example. And I'm not picking on anybody or highlighting anybody, just, you know.
Just those are the realities.
Yeah, yeah. For pizza, Papa Murphy's gets the most stars. Marco's Pizza also ranked high. And believe it or not, Chuck E. Cheese is the top-rated pizza place in six states.
Really?
And as we said previously, the lowest ranked is Papa John's in all these.
Okay.
For Mexican food, Chipotle and Qdobo and Moe's all ranked very high. But Chipotle also was the worst reviews in a few states out east. Taco Bell is the lowest rated overall, though.
Hmm. Doesn't surprise me. They got rid of their seven-layer burrito. Nobody wants to eat there anymore.
There you go.
Pay attention, Taco Bell.
Nicely done, Mel. Nicely done. You're going to get this here. We're going to make this happen. I don't even eat them, and now you've gotten me on it. Like, I'm with
right?
you on this. Like, this is my cause,
totally
too.
Totally want to try one.
How about locally here in Wisconsin? Well, this is interesting because Wisconsin had Chick-fil-A. Where is the Chick-fil-A in Wisconsin?
I think the closest one is Illinois. And that's not true, I'm sure. But I don't know.
So I just thought I'd Google. Okay, so there's a Chick-fil-A in Appleton, in Oshkosh, and in Madison. And there may be more. Okay. Well, I just didn't know. I didn't even know.
More southern part of the state. But yeah, I've never seen one around here. We ate at one when we were heading to Ohio. Mm. So I'm pretty sure we were, you know, but I don't think it was in Wisconsin.
So that's the top rated fast food chain in Wisconsin. The top fast food chain cuisine, by far and away in Wisconsin. Say it with me, everybody. What's the number one fast food place in this state? Come on. Culver's.
Yep. Nailed
and
it.
Rightfully so. Rightfully so.
Yes.
Understandable.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting list, though. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting to think about. And, you know, we talk about food a lot because, I don't know, a lot of us eat, like most of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
But fast food restaurants are something that I'd say the majority of us eat at from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
So this is interesting.
Even, just to speak to how popular fast food is, even in the people who have the least amount they can spend on fast food or people who, you know, eat the healthiest or anything, even they have a favorite fast food place. Like,
mm-hmm.
everybody's
got
one.
Or one that they will deign to eat at if they have to.
Mm, yes, yes. Oh, yeah, very true. Let's go ahead and we're going to take a quick commercial break, get to Melissa's news. We'll come back with some more fun stories, some That Ain't Right stuff, good stories of the day, and plenty more coming up for you right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR.
It's the Vampire James.
Serious comedy to start your day.
I love it.
Don't encourage me. Welcome back, everybody. Mel and James here with you. We hope you're having a great Friday out there. It's treating you good. We're certainly going to. Got some fun stuff to get into, and including some That Ain't Right stories. And this is probably going to go down as one of our better ones, Melissa.
Okay.
I don't know why you'd ever want to combine beer and running, but I guess people do, and they enjoy it so much so that they've actually had eight of these. The eighth annual Beer Mile World Classic happened in Belgium over the past weekend.
Okay.
What you do is you run for four laps on a track, and before each one, you have to drink a full beer that's at least 5% alcohol.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, you can imagine a lot of the aftermath of what happens during this run. there was a big controversy this time, though, because they switched from bottles to cans.
Oh.
I mean,
why was that controversial?
Whether it is the Tour de France with steroids or, you know, any of our major sports teams with cheating and all these other things. And now beer running. I mean, there's just nothing that can't be. The venue this year didn't allow glass. So that's the main reason. But cans were also mandatory in the original Beer Mile rules that were drafted back in the 1990s, you know, all the way back then.
Oh, wait, you know. The history on this is very important.
I remember the 1990s. The runners weren't happy about the change because bottles create less foam, so they're easier to chug them.
Mm-hmm. I guess. Not that I chug beer, but okay.
If you're a can fan and don't believe it, they have now got stats to back it up. A Canadian guy won the second year in a row, but was much slower this time. Last year, he set a new world record of 4 minutes and 28 seconds, but he finished 22 seconds slower this time, and other runner times were worse, too.
Ah, and they're blaming the container.
There's also, like, let's be honest, there's people that are doing this that have done it for years and they can get through a couple of, you know, legs of this. And then there's the person who, you know, with his buddies, hey, this is going to be fun. I'm going to try this. And like they get 1 mile down and they're puking on the side of the road. and this happens there. But what also happens is people fall down, and with a glass bottle falling down, you know, you're going to shatter glass everywhere. You know, this is a safer way of doing this. If you're going to do it at all.
Right.
If I'm having a beer, it's to relax. Like
to run.
Yeah, I'm one of those weirdos that actually likes to run. I love running. I you know, it's part of my exercise, whether it's a run or a brisk walk. I do one at least once a week at the very least. No matter what time of year it is. It's something I enjoy doing. I feel free doing it. This feels like the exact opposite of that. Because like, I like running, I like beer, but I do not want to combine them. I don't.
Well, I mean, any beverage that you drink that has carbonation in it doesn't seem, in my opinion, mix well with exercise, beer included.
No, it's the exact opposite. And I don't know. Let's say there are people out there who haven't experienced this. I've had to run when hammered. And it's not, not only is it not fun, I didn't get anywhere. Pretty much got, like, ran around the house, like, basically. Like, it was night, and it was, I got a pretty good sense of direction, but not hammered. No, I did not make it very far. I think I ended up, like, they found me in the backyard, I think. That's what happened.
Where were you going, James?
I didn't even know where I was going. I don't remember.
Taco Bell's this way.
I don't remember what I was running from. I don't remember. I just remember it didn't end well, and I hated it. I will say, in a pinch, it's a real quick way to sober up. It's, you know, there's that part of it. But
makes you feel more awake, I guess.
Certainly.
Or it helps you expel some of the alcohol from your system.
Yeah.
Not in ways you want to.
I think that's another interesting conversation, because especially in Wisconsin, but I mean, this is pretty universal. Everybody has their cure, like whether it's to sober up quickly or the hangover cure. Everybody's got and it's a home remedy. Everybody's got one.
Typically, yep.
I think that's one of the funner things about drinking, about getting older, is oh, you got a hangover? I got the fix. What do you got? Well, what's this one going to be? What is Pepto-Bismol and oysters. Okay, great. What, man? What are you trying to do to me here? What are you?
Sounds terrible.
Oh, I've heard some weird ones, Melissa. I have heard some weird ones. I got a friend who swears by this. put one hand in ice water and then drinking ice water, you know, with the other hand, obviously. He says silvers you up every time. Like, does it silver you up or does it just wake you up? Like, does
right. Okay. That sounds terrible.
They're all terrible. Everyone I've ever heard is terrible. Every single one of them.
We've mentioned him already this morning, but Christopher Lloyd in Back to the Future, his wake-up juice. That's my favorite. Get you off the floor after you've passed out dead in the bar. That one's my favorite.
Wake-up juice is also the greatest name for any of these. That's such a good name. Wake-up juice.
Yeah. And it was the bartender that gave it to Doc Brown, actor, but I still, that's my favorite.
I, you know what, especially because it was the third one, there's so many things I forget about that movie. I'm so glad you brought that back. Like, that's like, I'm never going to forget it again. Like, that's a great
and
line.
Christopher Lloyd did such a great job, you know, just like standing up from the floor from a dead pass out.
It just, I mean, really, one of those guys. Really, just incredible scene. Yeah. Let's see here. Let's go ahead and take a quick commercial break. We'll come back with some good stories and other than a right story and plenty more fun on mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Thanks a lot, Jen, and our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Melissa and James here with you, wrapping up the show for another week. Take it right to the top of the
hour. Fast today.
I'm telling you, the last couple of shows just have really seemed to go really fast. I don't know.
It's all that great content you find, James.
It's a lot of fun. It's just having a good time, you know? Mm-hmm. That's what it is. That's what it's all about. And you can have a good time in San Francisco, maybe. If you've been to downtown San Francisco in recent years, you know that they could use some public restrooms. This has been the case for a long time there. I spent a little time in San Francisco when I was living out there, and it's a beautiful city. It's one of the most beautiful cities I've ever seen, and one of the more interesting cities with the architecture and the way that they have combined the old with the new, like a lot of California has. And they got no bathrooms, like none. I don't know why. I don't know what happened there or anything, but like, good luck. Like, go before you go to San Francisco, basically. Like, it just seems the way it is. And now city officials are finally answering the call in a very San Fran way. San Francisco, keep in mind, is one of the richest cities in our country. The San Francisco Chronicle reported that the city is planning to spend up to $1.7 million to design and build a single toilet in one neighborhood plaza.
$1.7 million?
Yeah, the toilet will
occupy...
Oh, for one toilet. The toilet will occupy a 150-square-foot space, and it'll take 3 years to complete.
What?
As you might imagine, there's a little bit of backlash to this.
This is their solution?
Now city officials say they might be able to build it for less, but they're still estimating it at $1.7 million because they want to make sure it gets finished in the event that they hit with unexpected costs.
What kind of bathroom are they building?
I don't know how to put this in a nice way, but the California people and San Francisco people, not to like label or to put them all under one umbrella, but all the ones that I met when I was living out there couldn't have been nicer people and good people. Very surprisingly, got a little bit of a Midwest mentality out that way, except when it comes to image. Everything is image there. Everything. You just go to Walmart. You just go. I mean, you don't really. Do I look all right? All right, fine. You know, am I not in my pajamas? Okay, fine. Some people, even if they are in their pajamas.
Do I have shoes on? Check.
You won't go to the to go get your mail out of the mailbox without checking your hair first in California. Like they are so embodied in that. And for every person that is, there are people that push against it, of course. But on a public image standard, and especially the way the rest of the country looks at them, they have this kind of keeping up with the Joneses thing that they do, and they go up, you know, way above and crazy all the time. In this day and age, in this climate, with the economics being what they are, the only thing I can think of is that these are people that are incredibly out of touch, just way out of touch.
That's not sustainable.
How could you rationally go to your constituents and say, hey, we're going to spend $1.7 million on a single toilet. You're welcome. Hey, everybody, don't thank us too quickly here. You know, you don't have to send us thank you cards. That's all right. Like, it doesn't fix the problem. Like, no. One toilet does not fix any situation except for one person. It's also just extremely extravagant for no reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you gave all that background and backstory, because you've been there. I have not. Because I had a solution for this problem. But for $1.7 million, I guarantee Crockett Septic could put a porta potty on practically every block of San Francisco. So now that you've given that background and information on it, I have an updated solution to their problem.
Uh-huh.
We're still calling Crockett Septic, but they will design a slightly more upscale porta potty for these upscale people in California. And they can only have one every five blocks. It's still going to fix the problem. I guarantee they can do it. They'll make it pretty.
It's not only a great callback, a great joke, it also takes care of sponsors. I love that joke so much. It's so good, Melissa.
You're welcome.
There's not many times you could do that and include a sponsor in it. Like, well done. Very, very well done. Shout out
to
Crockett.
We've got San Francisco taken care of. It's good.
You know, if that doesn't work for him, give me and Mel a couple $100 and we'll dig a hole for you. I mean, there's other ways.
I know how to shovel works.
I mean, come on. There's other ways around this. People, what is going on?
I mean, in San Francisco, we might need a jackhammer, but, you know, we'll make it work.
Mm-hmm. That ain't right. That just ain't right.
It's got to be a gold toilet.
It has to be. I mean, there's no rhyme. If it isn't, then I really want to know where this money went, especially with... boy, I don't know if they need the warning or not, but if they do to the, you know, more... To the shadier politicians out there, your days are numbered. You think we went crazy about where our money was going with nonprofits. What do you think we're going to do with that?
Yeah.
That is becoming more and more in the public eye, in the public radar, than it's ever been in our history. Who's putting what money? Who's putting what money in whose pocket? I can look it up now. I can go to legitimate sources, multiple sources, and see these things.
Yeah, we need public services that work for the people. That's everything from safety and police to public bathrooms. Mm. All of these things are our concerns with the general people in this country. A $1.7 million bathroom? No, thank you.
Mm. It sounds like, too, the way they're designing it, like the toilet's just going to be sitting out in the open.
150 square feet? Wasn't that what you said?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean... That's not a huge space, mm-mm, but it's pretty big for a bathroom.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. So,
it
Melissa
seems excessive.
Yeah, I apologize. I was trying to get a drink of coffee.
How dare you?
Yeah, it's so good this morning. I got another good. I have some good stories of the day. I want to wrap things up on, and one of them here. Maybe this isn't life changing, but boy, is it a beautiful story, and it's very incredibly romantic. And then the foolish romantic in me cannot help it. Comes to us from thegoodnewsnetwork.org. 42% of Americans said that going on a vacation with their partner has rekindled the spark of love again, according to a new poll. 42%, a survey of 2,000 adults. 2,000.
Yeah, it's a good number.
Looked at the potential of vacationing with others and found that 3/4 of respondents said vacations are great for those looking to keep love alive in their relationship. 77% of people said this.
Wow.
Overall, the average person reported that vacation makes you feel 65% happier, with more than half, 58% agreeing that their world feels bigger when coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Conducted by one poll for Beachbound, the survey found that 76% agree that just spending time on vacation with their loved ones makes them feel refreshed, and 8 out of 10 said that traveling with someone is one of the best ways to strengthen their bond. In fact, 64% of respondents said that they've learned the most about their loved one while on vacation.
I can believe that. 100%.
I'd like to think that the majority of people out there don't necessarily need the jumper cables to their romance, or anything like that, or the paddles or anything. It needs a jump. But maybe it does, and you just don't notice it. And you don't want to notice something like that late. And is there ever a bad time to learn more about the person you love and probably one of your best friends and all that?
Yeah. Well, I would say that going on vacation, because, I mean, think about, our lives get so busy. We're so busy with work. We're so busy with trying to keep up a household, whether you have children or pets or not. It's still, it's work. And you're constantly doing these things, working out of the home, in the home, at home, meals, the day-to-day life things that keep us busy. When you get to go on a vacation, you don't have to do those things. So you have that time to just be together and spend together. And the traveling time, you have that one-on-one moments to talk, to just share, to dream, to enjoy life. So, yeah, I think it's great. Whether you need a booster or not, it's going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's going to point out some things that you don't particularly like about your partner.
Vacations can also do that, yes.
Yeah. Well, I joke that it was, you know, that's a great thing to do early on in a relationship to find out if that is the partner you want to be with. Because being on a vacation, it does kind of strip down to the basics of who you are as a person.
There's certain things that I think in order to be, you know, have your relationship goes to the next level, you kind of have to test, if for lack of a better word. Mm-hmm. You know, I think everybody should be in at least one fight, you know, and I'm not saying like knockout, drag out. I mean, just know how you stand. How does the other person handle anger, and understanding that? It can be sometimes a red flag or it can be a positive, mm-hmm. just seeing how they do. And certainly when it comes to, you know, quality time or anything like that, vacation time, you know, going on vacation, whether it's on in plane, by car, whatever it is, it's going to tell you a lot about the other person.
Mm-hmm. Another thing is building something from like a package, whether that's a model or a desk from IKEA, you know, whatever it is, build something together and see how you do.
Mm-hmm. Very well said. And we have some local good stories too, like our friends at Historic Point Boss have their spirit walk going on this weekend.
This is exciting.
It's tomorrow from 6 to 8:30, and if you don't make it tomorrow, you can make it next Saturday, October 29th. Enjoy an evening of haunted history, storytelling, guided tours. Take a guided lantern-lit walk around Historic Point Boss. Learn of the past from citizens of Point Boss as they emerge from the darkness to tell you about their experiences in this version of haunted history. It's not a jump and scare kind of thing. It's just more of a kind of like fun, ooh, kind of thing.
Yeah. A chance to connect with the people from this area that and the history from the area.
Yeah.
How cool.
It's such a fun and wonderful idea that they do so good at. It's one of my favorite events every year that goes on. Have a lot of our local favorite actors that are in it as well. Mm-hmm. Big shout out to Mike Edgren, Steve Martin, and all the others that are a part of it, of course. And and just, it's a fun event. And not only do you get to experience this and get out and have some fun, but you're also helping them keep history alive in Nakusa with the Historic Point Boss and going to this and attending events there. I really appreciate anybody that can get there this weekend.
You're going to have fun and you're going to learn something too. How cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. An 81-year-old woman from Missouri named Jody Perryman recently passed away, and her granddaughter gave her props online for making her friends and family laugh one last time. Mm-hmm. Everyone at the funeral got a small Ouija board in a card that said, "Let's keep in touch."
That's so great.
I mean, winner, right there, like a winner. Like, I don't know what she won, but she won. She won at life. Yeah, she won at this.
Great.
I am going to be pushing myself. I will not be able to pass until I come up with something just as funny as this.
Yeah, you gotta come up with something better.
Yeah. That's too good. That's so good.
Awesome.
And you guys out there are the good story of the day, and keep getting us good stories. This week we had about 3 or 4 different good stories listeners sent to us. Keep them coming.
Awesome.
We love those. Melissa,
best listeners in radio.
Really are. Melissa, you have a great day.
Yeah, you too, James. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you soon and later. You guys take care. Be good to each other. We'll meet back here on Monday for more Mornings on WFHR. Stick around for Morning Magazine.